Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Judeans began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Invite you to be seated. So we're smack dab in the middle of 5 weeks covering a mere 65 verses from John's Gospel. And we have the punchline here today for what's gone before, where Jesus says, the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. And by that, Jesus, the Word made flesh, points to his death. Jesus serves up his death for the life of the world. Yeah, that's kind of how John's Gospel goes, very deep, very poetic and circular. I believe that one of the blessings of being Christian is that we regularly talk about and even learn how to die. Now, that might sound a bit dramatic, especially to young adults preparing to be sent off to college. We've invited folks here today to send them off with a blessing. But isn't death simply a reality of life? One that we don't, on a daily basis, think about until something happens close to home, of course, an unexpected illness, a terrorist attack or a mass shooting, or even a natural disaster, such as flooding. Then, we may find ourselves even a bit preoccupied with a need for safety and security in life. I don't know about you, but for me, after 9/11, I started having anxiety for the first time in my life when I flew. Likewise, the thousands of people who surrounded Jesus in today's gospel reading, we're also preoccupied with a need for safety and security in life. Their country was occupied and ruled by a foreign power, the Roman Empire. Vigilante groups were starting to form to overthrow the empire, and some thought that Jesus would lead in that direction. It's to these folks Jesus speaks a word. But he says the opposite of what they expect. Instead of fomenting a rebellion and encouraging them to give their lives on behalf of their country or their religion, Jesus tells them that he will give his life for them, even for the enemy, for the whole world, the Roman Empire. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Not what they expected or wanted, I imagine. And the cross isn't really what we want to hear from God when we feel insecure or scared. Then, if you're like me, you want to hear that everything will be all right. Everything will go back to how it was, normal, which changes every day in our world. When we feel threatened or insecure or scared, we want to hear that the good guys will win and the bad guys will lose. In Jesus' day, that Israel would win and the Roman Empire would lose. Or chemotherapy will win and cancer will lose. And God does indeed promise by the resurrection that will happen one day, on the last day. Goodness and mercy will win, and hatred and violence will lose. Life and health will win, and death and disease will lose. Until that day, God will continue to actively restrain evil and sin in us with justice. God will actively work health through the medical arts. And until that day, Christ reveals what the end looks like now. What it looks like when love and life and mercy win is the cross, his death for the life of the world. That is, suffering for the sake of the neighbor is what goodness and mercy look like in our world until the last day. But in Christ, we don't need to fear suffering or death or even illness. Jesus says, whoever believes has eternal life. And he says, this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and live and not die, I should say. And just as in the whole of John's gospel, Jesus speaks in profound metaphors. He's not talking about himself as magical or as a talisman against death or as a way to get into heaven. That would merely appeal to the self-centered one in all of us who tries to make deals with God to get what we want. Eating the bread from heaven is another way of speaking about belief, or a better word, not with our heads, but with our hearts, what we trust in, faith. And eternal life is to be understood in terms of quality, not merely quantity. And it's experienced now in this world. Eternal life has a quality about it. It feels abundant and free. It has the taste of eternity, of all times and all places and all people. Eternal life is the experience of life of faith, life rooted in trusting the eternal God. In trusting God, we experience an eternal security, security that nobody and nothing can take away, not violence, not hatred, not sickness, not derision, not even death itself, because in the end, the crucified God of mercy will win. Security was something that I was looking for after I graduated college, moved across the country from Arizona to New Jersey, and started a job with Nabisco in East Hanover, which is when I looked into going back to church. And it was one of the kind of motivating factors was looking back on it, a very funny, but at the time a bit scary experience that helped me to see that I needed something bigger than myself. I was a member of a gym at that point, and probably the most regular that I've ever worked out in my life, at a Y. I was one of many who arrived before going to work to hurriedly get in a brief, intense workout. I noticed when I got out onto the floor that the only vacant Stairmaster was unplugged. And in trying to plug it in, I unplugged everybody else's. I looked up into what felt like a mob of angry, sweaty people who I really thought might chase me back to the locker room and throttle me. I had never been the object of mass anger. And it rather unnerved me and made me realize that I needed something more than my own little individual sense of identity in life and a better understanding of electricity. Yeah. And one blessing of the Christian faith is that we learn how to die. Ultimately, we don't need to fear death, even though we might have our moments. And not only death at the end of life, but death as in anything that diminishes life on earth, including fear itself. Because the Father in heaven has you, no matter what life or headlines, no matter what other people or you yourself might say to yourself in your own head. And this promise of eternal life is not based on our ability to believe, but the Father's ability to share his life with us, coming to us through the word, the bread and the wine, the water and the community. The Father continues in Christ to share his eternal life with us. So shooters may randomly kill, but the Father has you and has claimed you for eternity. Cancer may destroy, but the Father has you. Evil may happen, but the Father has you. In the end, we can't escape from death, but in Christ, we are freed to be open to life in spite of death or fear of death. So come to the table. There is abundant bread for those who are hungry. Come, there is abundant belief for those who are thirsty for the bread of life from heaven. Amen.